Part 2. The Art of the Attacker. Chapter 2. When Innocuous Information Isn't. What do most people think is the real threat from social engineers? What should you do to be on your guard? If the goal is to capture some highly valuable prize, say a vital component of the company's intellectual capital, then perhaps what's needed is, figuratively, just a stronger vault and more heavily armed guards, right? But in reality, penetrating a company's security often starts with the bad guy obtaining some piece of information or some document that seems so innocent, so everyday and unimportant, that most people in the organization wouldn't see any reason why the item should be protected and restricted. The hidden value of information. Much of the seemingly innocuous information in a company's possession is prized by a social engineering attacker because it can play a vital role in his effort to dress himself in a cloak of believability. I'm going to show you how social engineers do what they do by letting you witness the attacks for yourself. Sometimes presenting the action from the viewpoint of the people being victimized, allowing you to put yourself in their shoes and gauge how you yourself, or maybe one of your employees or co-workers, might have responded. In many cases, you'll also experience the same events from the perspective of the social engineer. The first story looks at a vulnerability in the financial industry. Credit checks. For a long time, the British put up with a very stuffy banking system. As an ordinary upstanding citizen, you couldn't walk in off the street and open a bank account. No, the bank wouldn't consider accepting you as a customer unless some person already well established as a customer provided you with a letter of recommendation. Quite a difference, of course, in the seemingly egalitarian banking world of today. And our modern ease of doing business is nowhere more in evidence than in friendly, democratic America, where almost anyone can walk into a bank and easily open a checking account, right? Well, not exactly. The truth is that banks, understandably, have a natural reluctance to open an account for somebody who just might have a history of writing bad checks. That would be about as welcome as a rap sheet of bank robbery or embezzlement charges. So, it's standard practice at many banks to get a quick thumbs up or thumbs down on a prospective new customer. One of the major companies that banks contract with for this information is an outfit we'll call Credit Checks. They provide a valuable service to their clients, but like many companies, can also unknowingly provide a handy service to knowing social engineers. The first call. Kim Andrews. National Bank, this is Kim. Did you want to open an account today? Hi, Kim. I have a question for you. Do you guys use credit checks?
Yes.
When you phone in to credit checks, what do you call the number you give them? Is it a merchant ID?
A pause. She was weighing the question, wondering what this was about and whether she should answer. The caller quickly continued without missing a beat.
Because, Kim, I'm working on a book. It deals with private investigations. Yes, she said, answering the question with new confidence, pleased to be helping a writer. So it's called a merchant ID, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Because I wanted to make sure I had the lingo right. For the book. Thanks for your help. Goodbye, Kim.
The second call. Chris Talbert.
National Bank, no accounts. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. This is Alex, the caller said. I'm a customer service rep with Credit Checks. We're doing a survey to improve our services. Can you spare me a couple of minutes?
She was glad to, and the caller went on.
Okay. What are the hours your branch is open for business?
She answered, and continued answering his string of questions.
How many employees at your branch use our service? How often do you call us with an inquiry?
Which of our 800 numbers have we assigned you for calling us? Have our representatives always been courteous? How's our response time? How long have you been with the bank? What merchant ID are you currently using? Have you ever found any inaccuracies with the information we've provided you? If you had any suggestions for improving our service, what would they be? And would you be willing to fill out periodic questionnaires if we send them to your branch? She agreed, they chatted a bit, the caller rang off, and Chris went back to work. The third call. Henry McKenzie.
Credit checks, this is Henry McKenzie. How can I help you?
The caller said he was from National Bank. He gave the proper merchant ID, and then gave the name and social security number of the person he was looking for information on. Henry asked for the birth date, and the caller gave that too. After a few moments, Henry read the listing from his computer screen.
Wells Fargo reported NSF in 1998, one time amount of $2,066.
NSF, non-sufficient funds, is the familiar banking lingo for checks that have been written when there isn't enough money in the account to cover them.
Any activities since then?
No activities.
Have there been any other inquiries?
Let's see. Okay, two of them, both last month. Third United Credit Union of Chicago.
He stumbled over the next name, Schenectady Mutual Investments, and had to spell it.
That's in New York State, he added.
Private investigator at work.
All three of those calls were made by the same person, a private investigator we'll call Oscar Grace. Grace had a new client, one of his first. A cop until a few months before, he found that some of this new work came naturally, but some offered a challenge to his resources and inventiveness. This one came down